Hi, welcome to the Bucko Fever Podcast. I'm your host, Charlie Franson. Thanks for tuning in. Second episode of the season. Spring training is underway. So I want to talk about, some things I've seen or noticed, or, some guys that look pretty good this early on in spring training. And yes, it is early, but it's still, fun to see guys go out. It's just fun to see baseball, but it's fun to see guys go out and be effective and produce, like, right off the bat. Since my last episode, the Pirates made some moves, picked up some guys, with, Yasmani Grandal being, one of them, and the extension for Mitch Keller, which is fantastic. So I'll talk about all that. So hold tight for some Bucko Fever. So, the Pirates, since the last, episode, like I said, made some moves. And the big one really is they went out and they got their catcher, in Yasmani Grandal. This move to me is, I don't want to say a head scratcher. It makes sense. It gives them, a veteran behind the plate. Grandal is on the downside of his career, offensively. He's definitely not what he used to be. Defensively, he's not what he used to be. Last season, he had 234 and 8 homers in 363 at bats. He's not an everyday guy anymore. I don't necessarily know what they're gonna do with him. But it'll be interesting to see, because looking at this, for me, the Pirates, we're already deep. Let's say deep at catcher at the major league level, with Jason DeLay, Ali Sanchez, and of course Henry Davis. Signing Grandal into that mix, I mean, Sanchez is out of options. DeLay could be option, but does it mean Henry Davis goes down and catches? Now, I will say, so far in spring, he looks like he can handle it. Again, very early on, he didn't catch a lot last year. So I'm not sure what they do with them. I think, you can look at carrying 3 catchers. I thought, when the talk was, Gary Sanchez was in play, I thought Gary Sanchez made a little bit more sense than Grandal, just because of the bat. Sanchez could at least DH. I think Sanchez had a little bit more versatility. Like, you could probably put him in the outfield or first base in a pinch. Grandal is a catcher. Like, I don't think you're going to put him anywhere else. You're not going to DH him. But again, if you believe in, the veteran presence, being a big positive for a team, I think this is a great move. If you don't necessarily buy into that, then it doesn't make a whole lot of sense. He's had a good career, but the average just hasn't been there, and he just hasn't hit a lot in the last, couple of seasons. So the Pirates also made room on their roster by, DFAing Kanan Smith and Jigba. I thought he might clear. He did not. And then they went and got him back. When the Mariners had to DFA him. I don't know what they're going to do with him, because, he's out of options as well. So, in that outfield mix, I don't know that I see him cracking the big league roster to start the season, because you have, Olivares, Palacios, and Reynolds and Sawinski, of course. But, I don't know if, you know, if they have to DFA him again, if he'll clear this time. I think he might. I think there's still a big league player there. I don't think, like, you know, I'm not talking perennial all-star or anything like that, but I think he is probably as good as, like, a Josh Palacios. So, you know, we might see him, and, you know, he might jump, you know, Palacios to make the roster. So it's going to be interesting to see how that outfield depth really kind of plays out. But yeah, I think there's still moves out there for the Pirates to make that makes sense. I think bringing in another starting pitcher would be awesome. I think they need to continue to scour the free agent market for minor league free agents. You know, they did bring in a couple. You know, they did sign Chase Anderson. And, of course, announced the signings of Connor Sadzek and Willie Peralta as well. So they've got some veterans in camp looking to break into that bullpen, you know, along with, like, Brent Honeywell, Michael Plassmeyer, Ryder Ryan, guys that I think I talked about them on the last episode. But, you know, I like for them to continue to add to that depth, that minor league free agent depth, you know, to build out that bullpen a little bit more. And the more than the bullpen in the big leagues, you know, I'm thinking more of the lines of, you know, just depth for the season. If you can get a couple guys to, you know, go to AAA, work on some stuff like, you know, like Plassmeyer or whatever. And, you know, having those guys waiting in the wings would be pretty helpful down the road because, you know, guys get hurt. And that way you're not necessarily relying on the youngsters to fill in those gaps, you know, when somebody goes down. Yeah, but like, you know, with spring training so far, you know, the Pirates have a few games in. I'm excited to see them play today. You know, not going to be able to watch it, obviously, but be listening to, you know, to hear Paul Skene's spring training debut. So, spring training so far has been your kind of like a, you know, a standard spring training. You know, the offense got off to a real slow start. The last couple games saw it kind of rebound a little bit. Saw some guys, you know, start to get a little bit of a groove. The big one, of course, being Tamara Johnson and his, you know, couple home runs the other day. That was always fun when you have that young talent, that top prospect, you know, crushing the ball in AAA, or sorry, in spring training, you know, but got some, I'm sure, and a lot of those home runs the other day were, of course, wind aided. You know, you got Cabrian Hayes with his grand slam, you know, Reynolds hit one, Ibram Gutierrez, Jackson Glenn, you know, so like they're slowly, the bats are coming along. The pitching, I think the best performance so far out of somebody trying to make that rotation, honestly, I think was Quinn Priester. Quinn Priester went yesterday. He, you know, went two innings and, you know, six up, six down. And that's great to see. I like Quinn Priester. I've noticed a lot of people have started to, like, write him off a little bit. He's not showing up in the projected, you know, rotations that different people are throwing out there. But, I mean, the stuff's there. You know, with Priester last year, I thought the biggest problem was that third time through the lineup. You know, once he got into like the fourth or fifth inning, he started to get hit a little hard. You know, he went two innings, struck out a guy, no hits, no walks. That's what you want to see out of Quinn Priester. That was encouraging. Followed by Jared Jones, which also was cool. Jared showed a little bit of issues with command. Yeah, but it is, you know, spring training. You know, Aroldis Chapman came in, gave up a homer. Moreira gave up two home runs. Again, don't put too much stock into a lot of that because it is spring training and it is, you know, wind aided, you know, a lot of those, you know, homers. So as far, you know, other than Tamar Johnson, the offense, you know, Jared Triolo struck out two of his three at bats yesterday. But before that, you know, he's been hitting the ball just like Jared Triolo does. I think he's a really consistent hitter. Connor Joe with his first, you know, homer of the spring, you know, he's hitting okay. Celestino making his case, he's playing a lot, he's getting a lot of at-bats, and he's doing the most with it. I don't see him making this roster out of spring training. I think he's a depth option for AAA. But, you know, other than that, you know, offense is off to, like I said, off to a little bit of a slow start. You know, Peguero, there's a lot of guys that are hitting 250. So they're coming around. I think, you know, moving forward, I really want to see more. We'll see more of, you know, Cruz and Reynolds and Hayes and everything, and get them some more at bats. Henry Davis, you know, I'd like to see him get some more at bats. He's at that 250 mark as well so far for the spring. You know, Sawinski is hitting the ball fine so far. So like the big bats, you know, they're getting a few at bats here and there. Still have yet to see, you know, Andrew McCutchen, which is kind of understandable, you know, with being the veteran and, of course, coming off that injury last year. No need to really kind of rush him. You know, we know what we're going to get with Kutch. You know, I want to see Nick Gonzalez get some more bats. Nick, for me, this team, you know, one of the keys that I mentioned in the first episode was, of course, O'Neill Cruz. You know, O'Neill Cruz, that bring that power bat into the lineup, put it in at short. That immediately makes his team way better. You know, second base, that battle is, you know, up for grabs. I'm really pulling for Nick Gonzalez. I think Nick Gonzalez has the potential. I think he has the pop. I'd really like to see him get a hold of that job and kind of run with it. I think Peguero is a great second option. I still think there's probably going to be a trade at some point. I think going into, you know, the season, you go with one of those guys, you know, you send Peguero down, you go with Gonzalez, you send Peguero down, you send Bay down. Or what do you do with Bay? You know, the at-bats are going to – there's not enough at-bats for all those guys. So, you know, I would think in a lot of the rumors around the Edward Cabrera potential trade, you know, featured G1 Bay. And, you know, was that just all made up? You know, all speculation? Yeah, probably a good percentage of it. But I think they all have value. And I honestly would not be surprised if one or two even are dealt, you know, before the start of the season. You know, the Pirates are going to need depth. But, like, when you're that deep at one position and they're all, like, up at the same level, you know, you've got to clear some space somewhere. And, you know, they're quality prospects, they're quality players. You know, they have that potential. None of them have really put a solid string of production together yet. So, you know, you could go out and get a reliever or even another starting pitcher, you know, with one of those guys and some more. So, you know, I think that's going to happen. We'll see. You know, as the spring winds down, you know, injuries could happen to the Pirates or another team that would cause, you know, some action there through the trade market. So we'll see what they do. As far as free agents goes, I did mention I want to continue to build that depth. As far as like big league free agents, you know, I'd love to see them snag a Jordan Montgomery. Just throw some money at that guy, or even a Michael Lorenzen. I think bringing in Michael Lorenzen, while he's not, you know, an ace by any means, I think at the back end of that rotation, that gives you even more depth. And then he can also float between the rotation and pen, or, you know, back to the pen. You know, Lorenzen had a solid year last year. I would say he, you know, on paper, I think looked better than, you know, Marco Gonzalez. You know, obviously Gonzalez had the health issues, but, you know, him and Martin Perez, he didn't have the greatest year last year. Again, solid, probably comparable to Lorenzen, really. But I would be okay if they went, if they got a Michael Lorenzen, if they can't make a trade, because there's been nothing said about the Cabrera deal since it kind of fell apart. You know, Jason Mackey of Post Gazette said, you know, that it kind of fell apart because the asking price went up. You know, the Pirates were probably, you know, working on a deal, or probably close, or that's what, you know, the sources say. But, you know, with some other pitching issues and injury issues that the Marlins were experiencing, that made them a little less eager to trade Edward Cabrera. So, again, if that in the next couple weeks leading up to the start of the season, you know, if, you know, the Marlins get that stuff all sorted out, I could see that trade and those rumors surfacing again. We'll see if that happens. But I still think, you know, starting pitching is the number one priority for the Pirates and Ben Cherington. If I'm Ben Cherington, that's what I'm scouring the market for. I'm also looking for just another bat. I would still love like an actual first baseman. And I don't know what that looks like. You know, free agent wise, there's not really a whole lot out there. Trade wise, you know, maybe swing one of those second base prospects to somebody else for a prospect that's been blocked, or, you know, somebody that has a surplus, a first baseman. Those are the types of deals that, you know, I would be looking for, I think, as a general manager. Not only those nice, those big deals where you have like a major league ready and established player coming back to you, but like, you know, just scour the market. I know I mention him all the time, but a guy like Spencer Horwitz from Toronto at first base, guy gets on base, he makes contact, doesn't have a whole lot of pop. He's decent defensively. I just think like a guy like that is blocked there in Toronto a little bit by, you know, Guerrero. And if you could get him, you know, in the mix, you know, have him, you know, even if he starts the year at AAA, you know, have that honest, real first baseman. I know they still have Malcolm Nunez, but he hasn't really he didn't really step up last year to establish himself as like a legit heir to first base. So that's the kind, those are the kind of deals I'm looking for. I'm going to continue to scout. I would continue to scour the market. Waiver wire, not so much. Like, and that's what's one of the things like I've noticed. You think back to like the last couple seasons, and even during the like the Neil Huntington era, you know, the Pirates were always pulling people off the waiver wire. They're not really doing that this year because they actually have a legit competition across the board. Pretty much at every position, they have competition for those backup spots, the bench spots. They have depth, you know, through the 40-man roster. And then, you know, right off of that, they have guys in AAA that in AA that are, you know, getting a lot closer. So they're not really pulling these guys off the scrap heap anymore. So I don't know. We'll see. Like the spring, we still have a ways to go. You know, I'm excited to see what happens today with Paul Skeens starting. We will see how that pans out. I know the Pirates announced their lineup already. You know, starting, they've got Cruz, Sawinski, Hayes, Telez, Henry Davis behind the plate, Oliveras and Wright. Got Pagero DH'ing today. Get him some at-bats. Smith and Jigba playing left, and Nick Gonzalez at second. You know, I wish it was on TV today. I would legit, seriously, just take the afternoon and sit and watch that. But yeah, we'll see what happens. Corbin Burns starting for the Orioles, so it's going to be a tough go for, you know, that starting lineup, you know, until he's out of the game. But yeah, we'll see. I'm excited. You know, spring is plugging away. Start of the season will be here before we know it. And you know, let's see what happens with the Pirates, you know, as we go forward. So, you know, as spring goes on, you know, we're going to see more guys get more opportunities. You know, there's some people that, some players on this team and on the 40-man roster that, you know, are kind of under the radar a little bit. And one of them is Braxton Ashcraft. I've always liked Ashcraft. He's got a, you know, that typical prototype, prototypical build of a starting pitcher, 6'5", you know, 195. You know, he's got really good stuff. You know, coming back from injury last year, you know, saw some limited innings. Obviously, you know, you don't want to, you know, get him too worked up and wear him out too soon. But, you know, so far, you know, he's pitched an inning this spring. I'm really looking forward to seeing what he does this spring, because I think Ashcraft, based on like what I saw out of him last year on his numerous stops throughout the minor leagues, on his, you know, rehabbing and building that arm back up, I think he's an under the radar guy. I think he's a legit prospect. You know, I'd like to see him, you know, get stretched out. I'd like to see him, you know, get some longer starts in. But I think Ashcraft could make an impact on this team this year. I think he could slot in on the back end of that rotation at some point, or even higher, like mid. I like Ashcraft a lot. I got to see him pitch in person, you know, with Altoona last year a little bit, you know, when he was, you know, only pitching a couple innings, you know, on a pretty strict pitch limit. But, you know, this year will be an interesting year for him. It'll be his first year back with, you know, hopefully not a whole lot of restrictions, and really get to see him open things up a little bit. I wouldn't be surprised he starts the year. I would start him in Indy. I wouldn't be shocked if he goes to Altoona to start the year. But I think he goes to Indy. I think you send him to Indy to see what he does. You know, he's 24 years old. You know, I like him a lot. I like him, I think, a little bit better than like a Jackson Wolf. Although Wolf is another, you know, a lefty, big guy. I want to see more out of him this spring. I was a little disappointed he didn't do a little bit more last year and make his way to the Pirates, you know, after getting a little taste with San Diego, albeit probably rushed. But he's another guy, same age as Ashcraft. You know, I like the left-handed arm here, the big left-hander. You know, get him some innings. So, like, that AAA rotation to start the year could be pretty intriguing. I mean, if Quinn Priester doesn't make the team, and I don't think Jared Jones will either to start the year, you've got those two, Jackson Wolf, probably Ashcraft, you know, getting innings there, and probably Skeens at some point, you know, if not right away. So that AAA rotation might be the best rotation they've had in a long time. I like all these guys. And I can see them all staying in the rotation, with maybe the exception of, I would say, maybe Ashcraft due to the injury. But, you know, if that doesn't resurface, there's no reason why he couldn't stay in the rotation and be a piece for them, you know, moving forward. But, you know, it's there. Like, I think that the depth is there. I think that, you know, getting all these guys closer to big league ready, you know, and you know, AAA, I'm really intrigued to see how that roster takes shape, because you have other guys, especially pitching, that made it all the way to Altoona last year. So Lometto, I don't know that he makes that jump. Bubba Chandler, he probably starts the year at Altoona. But you can look at all those guys to possibly be making that push, both those guys and Thomas Harrington as well, who I think will probably start in Altoona. You know, making that push to go to the next level and going to AAA. You know, so next year, 2025, there could be a lot of young starting pitching just ready to slide in. And that's really the one thing that I would love the Pirates to go out and sign a Jordan Montgomery, or like I said, or a Michael Lorenzen, or go trade for one of the Marlins starters, whether it be Cabrera or Garrett or whoever, to mix in there, because you have Mitch Keller. Signing Mitch Keller to that extension was exactly what the Pirates needed to do. You know, lock in these core pieces of the team, and, you know, guys that have shown that they can be successful at the big league level. You know, you've got Reynolds and Hayes and Keller now, you know, locked in for a little bit. You know, this rotation, you know, next year, you're not going to have, you know, Martin Perez or Marco Gonzalez, like those type guys. You're going to have full-fledged, young, potential superstars. Paul Skeens, a potential superstar. Jared Jones, potential all-star. I see it. And he, you know, for getting all the way up to AAA and being just 22, I mean, that's impressive. You have Solometto, you have Chandler, Harrington, who I mentioned. Mike Burrows will be back next year, you know, in to work in. You know, obviously he'll be building back up. You know, Jackson Wolf, who I mentioned. Yeah, Ashcraft, who I mentioned. Like, they're there. So it's gonna be interesting. Like, I'd love for them to sign another veteran. If you get another veteran, a good, solid veteran, not a Marco Gonzalez, not a Martí Pérez, not these guys who have had success, kind of faltered, you know, bargain guys that can still be effective, you know, no more Rich Hills, you know, get a Jordan Montgomery, Michael Lorenzen, like, you know, just get somebody that can come in and mix in with those young guys, but know that you have all that depth, all that young talent just there to kind of anchor that staff. And you can mix in, like, you can, you know, Ronsi Contreras. I mean, I don't think he's done by any means. I was encouraged, you know, by his outing the other day. You know, he did give up, I believe, a couple runs. But, you know, I saw some stuff there that, you know, looked like the old Contreras. So, you know, he could, you know, work his way back into that rotation and be, you know, a piece for them moving forward. You know, so next year, I mean, that rotation could be Mitch Keller, Paul Skeens, Quinn Priester, Jackson Wolf, Ashcraft, Jared Jones, Solon Meadow, like any of those guys could take a big step forward. So, then you also get these guys coming back from injuries. At some point, you're going to have JT Brubaker back this year. Now, granted, I think JT Brubaker kind of equates or, you know, is similar to a Marco Gonzalez type guy. I think back into the rotation depth, you know, he's going to be a nice little addition for them at some point. And, you know, he could go to the pen or, you know, if he comes back and pitches a little bit this year, you know, shows that he can still be, you know, effective. You know, maybe he's trade bait. But you've got that working in. Bailey Falter, you know, I think he's more of a bullpen guy. I also don't see him long-term. Josh Fleming, same thing, more bullpen guy in my opinion. You know, Luis Ortiz, there's another one. You know, if he clicks, you've got him in the mix. He's shown flashes. I don't necessarily have the faith in him or the belief that he can. I think Contreras can be better and is better than Luis Ortiz. But, like, again, it's got to translate to the big leagues. And it's got to be consistent. You know, last year definitely was not consistent. For Ronsi, you know, he showed flashes, but he also got hit around quite a bit. You know, so yeah, I mean, with Mitch Keller locked in, Skeens coming, and the rest of those guys mixed in there, you know, bringing in another veteran to throw in there, you know, somebody established, somebody that can, you know, really, you know, be an anchor, would be huge for the Pirates. And if they don't do it this season, you know, really, you know, really hope they do it this next offseason, or even, you know, if they are in contention, which, honest to God, I don't think is outside the realms of possibility. Is it super likely? I wouldn't say that either. Because it's still a really young team. But, you know, anything can happen. You know, if they can just develop these guys and get them to reach that potential, hit that ceiling, this team could be really good. If they don't develop, then, you know, probably by 2026, we're probably looking at another rebuild. That's kind of the flexibility that I personally would give Ben Cherington right now. And again, he's handcuffed by Nunning. I get it. You know, they've spent money. They're never going to be the Dodgers. You know, they're never going to be the Phillies. never going to be those bigger market teams or even the small market teams that spend. The Pirates need to spend a little more. We saw last year the jump forward they took just by spending a little bit on Kutch and Santana. This year, Tellez, probably I would say that's similar to Santana, although I think Santana was still better. Bringing Kutch back, Grandal, getting Perez and Gonzalez, they're and Chapman, of course, that was a big spend for them, I thought. So they're showing that they are putting their money where their mouth is, where they say, this is it. We need to make this big league team better. However, there could definitely be more. And as we get closer to the start of the season, who knows? We'll see what they add, but the rest of the spring is going to be fun to watch these future rotation pieces get some work. So that's the episode for today. I appreciate you giving me a listen. And it was kind of, I'm still rusty. I know it was a little bit clunky sometimes. But there hasn't been a whole lot going on, with the spring. And, we're just at the start. So I'm sure things are going to, we'll pick up, obviously, like I said, seeing these young starters get in there, these young players get some at bats. Spring's always fun to watch. But really looking forward to the start of the season. I appreciate you listening. Check me out on social media, Bucko Fever Podcast on Facebook, Instagram, as well as at Bucko Fever Pod on, Twitter. Check me out on there, and of course BuckoFeverPodcast.com. Hoping to get some content on there here at some point, but otherwise, I appreciate everybody listening, coming back after pretty much a season break last year. The first episode had more listeners than I thought it would, which was sweet, and hopefully we can keep going forward. Keep bringing some of you guys back, bringing some new guys on board, looking to do some different stuff this season. So keep an eye out, keep an ear out, hit me up on social media. As always, thanks for listening, and have a good one.